Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose Son, Jesus, is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I shall not A reading from the first letter of John. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
No doubt if you've heard me preach before, you know that my upbringing as a cradle Episcopalian and one who's really steeped in the tradition of the Christianity according to the Episcopal Church, you know that I owe a lot of my theology, my faith, to that upbringing in the church. And I always get a little, I'm always reminded on the fourth Sunday of Easter every year, because the fourth Sunday of Easter every year is Good Shepherd Sunday. Perhaps that's because Jesus claims that he is the Good Shepherd. And so during the Easter season every year, the fourth Sunday after Easter, we have Good Shepherd Sunday, and we read in the three-year cycle different parts of the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, wherein Jesus uses the image of the Good Shepherd to lay out his pastoral and theological underpinnings as one who truly cares and truly gives his life for the sheep. And whenever we hear about shepherds and Jesus being the good shepherd, we always think in this iconic way of Jesus as the one who hears the sheep, they know his voice, he calls them by name, and they all come and follow him, and that he will go outside of the sheepfold to rescue one of them when they are scattered, and that every bit of the nostalgia and wonder that is the beautiful imagery of the Good Shepherd is always a part of this glowing understanding of Christ as the Good Shepherd. Only problem is that he had a lot of subtle things he was saying about being a Good Shepherd as well. One of them is the fact that the shepherd's job was not highly coveted. So here he was talking about, I am the good shepherd, when nobody wanted to be a shepherd. In some cultures, it's either the child or the old man who is the shepherd, or was the shepherd. And it wasn't a job that would pay for anything. Oh, we always think of David being out guarding the sheep when he's called by Saul and anointed to be the king, the great shepherd of the people of Israel. But that's because it always fell to the least, the youngest, the least important. Shepherding was not a highly envied job. And most of the people who were shepherds were poor. They didn't have a whole lot because being a shepherd didn't pay a whole lot. A shepherd, you see, is one who, like, is not doing it for the money, right? That's why Jesus contrasts it with the hired hand. The one who's doing it for the money runs away because he's not invested. He's just paid to do the job. When the true shepherd is an amateur, that is to say, one who does it for the love, but don't do it to get rich. And the sheep, you know, they were important because of the lanolin and the wool and the mutton. Have y'all ever had mutton? I know you wear wool, but and I know you probably have had lotions that had lanolin, but actually sheep don't really produce a lot. In fact, they were kind of hated in the Old West because the sheep, I was told this when I was a child. I don't know how accurate it is because I'm not a shepherd, but I understand that they come and they eat the grass down to the root. So there's not much left for the cattle. And that's why they were hated in the Old West, because once the sheep came, there was nowhere else to graze. And the shepherds in those days were thought to be stinky, and they were thought to be bad, and they were run off the range if they tried to take over or tried to even be present. So there's another subtle thing that Jesus is saying about shepherds. They weren't exactly popular either. So why the image of the shepherd? Well, it's for all the good and idealized things, but it's not for the practical reasons. But there is another subtlety that comes in today's gospel where Jesus says, after he proclaims himself the good shepherd to his people, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Well, you know, them's fighting words. Because we're who he lays down his life for. We're who are so important and he would do anything for. We're the ones who really care about him and he cares about us. Who were those other sheep? I mean, Jesus' story doesn't tell of Jesus being in any other cultures unless you're Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where after he did his thing there, he went over to the Americas and found the lost tribes of Israel and he ministered to those people. But most of us don't really put any stock in that particular myth that is propagated by the Mormons. Well, Jesus' point is not to try to prove that the Mormons were the true faith. Not at all. Jesus is trying to say that one aspect of the shepherd is that all of the sheep whether in our tribe, in our fold, in our community, or outside of our tribe, outside of our fold, outside of our community, are just as important and just as loved and just as worthy for him to lay down his life that they may live in him. Now, how can this be? Because after all, we know that so many other cultures in the world reject Christianity. Don't exactly buy into that. Well, where did he go? Who is he dying for besides us, besides me? Well, the fact is that Jesus dies for King Jong-un, just like he dies for Donald J. Trump. He dies for the Muslim Brotherhood as much as he dies for the College of Cardinals. Jesus lays down his life for all the sheep. And just because we don't necessarily see them as knowing him culturally, if they live according to the values for which he stands, who are we to say that he does not die for them as well? There's a wonderful old story about a little child. Let's say it's a little girl and she's in the primary grades and she's generally not very popular in her class. And one day, unlike most of her friends, she has to have glasses. So she goes to school wearing her glasses, and what does she get?
Hey, four eyes. What you doing? You trying to see what we can't see?
Picked on and bullied. She's having a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day. And so after lunch, when all the kids go out to recess, she's sitting there weeping at her desk. And the teacher comes over to her and says, "Susie, what's the matter?" And Susie tells her all her problems. And the teacher says, "Well, you know what, Susie? There are a lot of kids in this class, but you are my favorite. I just love you so much. And I would do anything to make it better for you. I can't tell the kids not to tease you, but you can last longer than this. You can live through it. And if you know that you're my favorite." Well, Susie toughed it out and went on out, and the week proceeded as usual. Well, one day later in the week, Susie went out to recess, and it was a little chilly, so she decided to go back inside to get her jacket. And as she got to the door, she heard her teacher, and she was saying to some little child who was sniffing and sobbing for who knows what reason, "Oh, Johnny, you're my favorite." And it hit her that we are all God's favorite. In the ancient world, it was kind of, there's an old saying about the ancient world, how odd of God to choose the Jews. Well, God chose the Jews as a way of proclaiming an important way to live, and that is in true faith of God. But that doesn't mean that God's favorite is limited to the Jews. In fact, there to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of God's people, Israel. And so, we must allow in our hearts a place for all God's children, not just the ones who are a part of our family, but all God's children, not just those who deserve it or earn it, but all God's children are accepted and made important. Soon we're going to hear about an opportunity this very day to reach out to a part of our community that is not of this fold. Seems that over in Morristown, Tennessee, there was an ICE raid on one of the factories over there that hires a lot of alien workers. And many of them were taken and will be deported back to another country. Now, this isn't a sermon to say, oh, we should let them all come in. That's a too complex an issue. And I'm not saying everybody who came here illegally should have to go or should be allowed to stay. That's not the point. But the point is that God loves those people just like God loves us. And so the opportunity that we have is because the Roman Catholic Church there, helped by the Episcopal Church there in Morristown, has reached out to the families of those who have been taken into custody by ICE. And the support that they need as human beings, as sheep that are maybe not of this fold, is just as important as that which we do for those within our community of faith. For the Lord comes to all of us. The Lord saves us all because, as the famous words of John 3:16 read, you can say it with me, I know you know it. Let me find it, though, so I'll make sure I say it right. Because, you know, God so loved the world. Well, it's not just those of us in the world who claim to know God. But it's, okay, let's read the words of John 3:16 together. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. John 3:16 that we read this morning, from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For those who truly believe in Jesus as the Good Shepherd will open their hearts and their minds and their pocketbooks, whatever it takes to lay down our lives that others may live. Because in claiming to be the Good Shepherd, he calls us to be good shepherds as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please join me in sharing our faith by saying the Nicene Creed, which can be found on page 8 in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found on page 9. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others, and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them, and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. For Margaret,
Jeannie, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed and Pat, Doug, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Jane, Tony, Zach, Bessie, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joyce, Bernard, Russ, Jerry, Sarah, Bill, Martha,
Shane,
Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Alan, Audrey, Pat.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Are there any other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Deb and Dutch McGrath, Judy and James Short, and Rosemarie and Pat Park. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Do I have it on? Is it on? I never can tell. I have to make sure. Now it is.
Now it is for sure, right? Okay. Announcements, announcements, announcements. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. So, Dee, you want to tell us about this?
All right. We've got several announcements to make. First of all, I'm going to continue the town hall meetings. So I invite anyone that wants to have a conversation about any aspect of the parish and what your vestry has been up to and where we stand with the process of finding a new rector, anything that's on your hearts or minds that you want to talk about, I invite you to come to the library and let's have a conversation. This Saturday, your vestry was very busy. We spent almost the entire day here with Pat Grace, the canon to the ordinary, One of the things we did was a vestry retreat, and we have a white poster paper hanging up in the parish hall that basically demonstrates the byproduct of our work. I invite all of you to read the notes that have been made and come to the town halls and ask questions if you have questions. Also, we met with Pat to talk about the search process and things that we can do to improve our prospects. One of the things I do want to announce is that your vestry has decided to bring in a search consultant to help us in this process and to gather, to help us gather your voice and your concerns and what you are looking for from this parish moving into the future. Also, your vestry had its normal monthly vestry meeting, and one of the decisions that came out of that meeting, well, two decisions. As Perry has alluded to, we all know what happened the first of this month in Morristown. And regardless of how politically you view this country's immigration policies and procedures, the fact is that there are families in Morristown now that have great need. The people that have been bringing food, shelter, and income to these families are no longer able to do that. And your vestry has decided to send a small donation from the Wyland Outreach Fund to those people. And we have also designated today's loose plate offering to go to the people in Morristown. So I would ask you all at this time to put aside our political differences and let God touch your hearts and give what you feel called to give. So here is my contribution.
And I'm not putting my money where my mouth is. So.
Again, if you have questions about this decision, any decision your vestry has made, or if you want to have a conversation about anything, please join me in the parish hall right after this service.
Kelly? Is Kelly, did Kelly step out? Oh, there she is. Did you want me to say something about Tuesday nights?
Oh, yes.
Or do you want to say it? Just longer range, but I was talking with Kelly and the Tuesday night worshipers, and it came to my attention anyway that I enjoyed bringing you the Lenten series, and Tuesday night is just a wonderful night, and we have decided that we're going to try it on a monthly basis, once a month, as opposed to a full Lenten series. And so I'm going to teach a class on the second Tuesday each month beginning in May, and it'll be the same format as we had in Lent. We'll have a 6 o'clock service followed by a simple dinner and a short lesson. I'm going to lead it. It'll be on the patriarchs, that is Genesis. Since the Sunday school class is doing Exodus, I thought we'd get the backstory. And so we're going to take a look at Genesis on second Tuesday of every month beginning in May for however long that seems to work. And it's daylight savings, so it's not to worry about driving at night. Please come and join us and talk to Kelly about how that's going to be administered, because I'm sure she'll appoint someone to help make that happen. But put it on your calendars if you're at all interested, and I just thought it'd be a good thing to try to continue to have a little bit more fellowship and education going on as we continue forward as a parish. Other than that, the announcements are in your bulletin and in your newsletter, and I commend them to you. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts. The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is
right to give him thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself, in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father. In this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death and resurrection, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of the risen Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.